Hallelujah. What a powerful name it is. Good to have you tonight. God is good. Praise his name. Hallelujah. As I was standing there, I was thinking about that little chorus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Let's sing it again. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Hallelujah. We want to remember those that are, sick and ill. Remember Ron Richter. What's the situation with Ron? Do you know, Cindy?
He's going to be going to rehab before long.
Okay, so he's improving then some.
He's got to get movement back in his arm, but that's a good thing to be moving there.
Okay. Remember Ron. It seems like every time I pray, he comes right there and I pray for him. Willard, yeah, said Willard had a heart attack last week. I guess maybe in church. I'm not sure. But he has some problems this week. And Paul Moreland, they were showing pictures of his accident burning. He got burnt very bad. But praise God, God is still on the throne. He is still moving. And he's moving for all three of these. And George had heart. Okay, aorta. They put a pig ones in, or what they put in? Was the pig they put in? Okay, so he's Shirley. Okay, all right. God is still moving. He got a pig aorta, and Paul got fish skin. They're putting on him for his grafting. I never had heard that before, but all kind of new things are coming around, it seems like, but God has shown them the way. Praise the Lord. Okay. Anything else in anybody's heart? Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight because you are the answer. You are the great I am. You are the King of Kings. Lord, we love you. We praise you. You are wonderful, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for being with these, Lord. Thank you for being with Willard, Father, and touching him in a special way, Lord. They have had so many struggles, but God, you're the great I am, and we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for being with George, Lord, as he went through this surgery today, Lord. Father, here again, you are the healer. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that healeth. We pray for them, Lord. And Father, we pray for Paul for the continued healing for him. Lord, we don't understand why things like this happen, but God, you're still in control. You're the great I am. Hallelujah. Lord, for these others that have been mentioned, others that have been thoughts in people's hearts and minds, we pray, Lord, that you would touch them, Lord, in a special way. Lord, you just move as only you can move because you created us. And even as you create us, you can recreate, Lord. And we thank you for that, especially in Paul with his skin burnt like it is, Lord. We thank you for recreating, Father, in his body, mind, and spirit. And Lord, we just ask you to come tonight in a special way, Lord. Minister to us, Lord. You know what each one of us need. Lord, we pray for the pastor. He's not here tonight. And Father, say broke a tooth off or lost part of a tooth. We pray that you'd be with him, Lord. Minister to him here again, Lord. You can even create teeth, Lord, if that's what it takes. Lord, we thank you that you are in control of every situation. We thank you for each one that's here tonight. And Father, that we might bring glory to your name tonight. Father, that we might get out of the way and allow you to move and breathe and have your being. We love you, Lord, and we need you. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you for coming down, Father, giving your life for us. Thank you, Father. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Cindy gave me a choice of what psalm I would like to speak on. And I don't know whether I made a decision or Ruth or Cindy did, but I'll be speaking on the 23rd Psalm, which I'm sure most of you realize is probably one of my favorites. It's a favorite of many. Very familiar. We go to the 23rd Psalm when we're lonely. At least I do. When we're sick. When we need God to speak to us, we go to the 23rd Psalm. Hallelujah. When we're upset. And of course, at funerals, it's probably one of the most widely used passages, the 23rd Psalm. Let's read it first off. I probably could just quote it, but sure as a dickens, if I tried to, I'd leave out one of them. You guys probably aren't like that, but my mind is getting better and better, I'm afraid. I turned right to it. I don't know why I did that, but praise the Lord for that. You got your Bible, the 23rd Psalm. It's on page 647. Okay, let's go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. We have the opportunity to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David wrote this, of course. The little shepherd boy, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. Maybe older than that when he wrote, when he penned this, I'm not sure. But he's the one that put it in the heart. God put it in his heart, I guess. Cindy said last week there are 73 psalms attributed to David. I didn't check on that. Cindy, I hope you were right. Since I'm quoting that. But this is definitely one of the best known, the most well-known. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I would ask you tonight, is the Lord your shepherd? Does he lead you? Does he guide you? Are you willing to surrender to him and allow him to show you the way? Many of us probably don't want that to happen. We like to make our own way. We like to do our own thing. I'm afraid many of us are guilty at different times. That means if you surrender and you let the Lord be a shepherd, you are a sheep. And David in Psalm 23 is speaking as a sheep, not as the shepherd. Without the shepherd, what happens to the sheep? Isaiah says they go astray. We need a shepherd, and we are surely blessed that we have shepherds or pastors that lead us and guide us, speak truth to us, show us the way, comfort us, just do about anything they need to do to make sure that we love the Lord. They truly care for us. And if we are saved, we are so blessed that we serve, or we are under the good shepherd, the great I am, the King of Kings. A shepherd loves his or her sheep, and I believe that our pastors love us. Or they probably wouldn't stay this long if they didn't. I'm sure many of us are unlovable, but I believe they do love us. We pastored at Jennings for 5 to 6 years, I guess, and we loved the people. We learned to love them. We learned to pray for their needs, to comfort them, to care for them, whatever. I think the first year we was there, we probably had at least 3 or 4 or 5 funerals. I'm not sure how many, but we learned the people. It's amazing what you learn at funerals, but God was good to us. They were our sheep, and we still pray for them. We still love, we can't get rid of that love that we had for them. Every day, we speak their name before the Lord. Sheep or shepherds love their sheep. And I believe that our pastors love us. But I was thinking about, I used to go to meetings with these co-workers, I guess you'd call them. And we had this one guy that loved his sheep so much that that's all he wanted to talk about. But this guy was a former superintendent of schools. He hadn't retired. He had just quit that job and come over to what we were doing. And he loved his sheep so much that he would get in a building like this and he'd start talking to us about, we'd make nice lambing pens over here, make nice feed troughs over here. He was amazing, really. But he loved. He loved his sheep. And I believe he was a great superintendent of schools because he probably loved the children and loved the people that he worked with. He had that love that so many never gets a hold of. Hallelujah. In John 10 and 14, it says, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. Just think of that. He's the good shepherd and he knows you. You may think you are hiding something from him, but you don't hide anything. He knows you. He knows your every move. And I was thinking about our pastors. Well, it goes on in that in verse, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Our pastors can't give us eternal life except sharing the word of God with us. And they do that faithfully. So that's the way they give to us eternal life, is sharing what they know about Jesus. And they are faithful. Anybody that would spend 25 years in ministry has a special place for you in their heart, or they wouldn't be here. But it's up to us, the sheep, to receive what they have for us. And many times we turn them off when they start talking about salvation or talking about changes in our life. We don't want to change. We like to be human. We had sheep on our farm since the early 1900s. Now, all my life, and I wasn't here in the 1900, Ruth says I have my gray hair, and she doesn't, but until about three years ago, we finally got rid of the sheep. And it was such a struggle because we loved our sheep. We loved the physical sheep, just like the pastors love you. And they started getting out all the time. And you know, that's, I'm afraid, part of the problem with us as sheep. We find ways to get out. My sheep, we built new fences around everything. Everything was new fence. They would find a hole or a little thing. And finally, we got all those things fixed, and they started lifting gates off the hinges. Two or three of them would reach through the gate and just lift it right off the hinges, and so there they'd go. It's amazing. People talk about sheep being dumb. Well, I'm not sure about that. They may be sort of, I don't know what you'd call them, but they sure try your patience. Let's put it that way. And I would imagine that we try Pastor Ivan and Pastor Cindy's patience. So think about that a little bit. A shepherd is one who takes care of his sheep, is the definition, his flock. His sheep know his voice. He will leave the 99 and go look for that one lost sheep, won't he? And that's how he found us. That's how he found me and you, because we were lost and we needed a shepherd. And he came looking for us. Hallelujah. Says, goes on in that verse to say, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The shepherd wants you to have the best pasture, the best water. He wants everything good for you. And yet, we're guilty of looking on the other side of the fence, aren't we? The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Most sheep have no reason to worry because the shepherd is going to get them everything they need. I mean, that's his livelihood. My grandfather, I'm probably getting out of line here on my notes, but my grandfather bought our farm where we live with money from sheep. He had about 200 head of sheep, and when he sold the lambs and sheep, but that's how he bought the farm, was with that money. Excuse me a second. In describing the Lord as a shepherd, David wrote out of his own experiences. Sheep are completely dependent upon the shepherd for provision, for the watch care, for protection, for everything that they need. They need the shepherd, and we need the shepherd. And like I said, the pastors are our shepherds, and we need them. As the Lord is the good shepherd, we are his sheep. We're not frightened, dumb animals. But we are sheep. We should be wise enough to follow the one that will lead us in the right place and show us the right way. Like I said, many writers, if you've ever read many things on Psalm 23, most writers will say that sheep are dumb. And like I said, I don't consider sheep dumb when they can get out of anybody, any place you put them, they can get out of. That shows some intelligence. It's just intelligence being used the wrong way. But aren't we as sheep? We are smart too. But we use our intelligence, what God has given us, in the wrong way many times. Hallelujah. I really don't consider sheep dumb. Like I say, they will surely try your patience, but they aren't dumb. Sometimes I wondered why we kept sheep, other than the fact that was our livelihood. But I also think that God allowed us to have them to teach us, especially me, because patience is not one of my virtues. And truly, patience is something you have to have with sheep. When you drive through a gate with a vehicle, you can open the gate, the sheep will be back here somewhere, and you think, well, I'm good shape. Before you can get through the gate, they're already through the gate in your way. I mean, it's amazing how they operate. And then try to shear one. The last one I sheared, I think, had me all over the barn. Of course, here again, I am a couple years older now. I used to shear them pretty easily, but this one was not easy to shear. And finally, my grandson had to catch the sheep and help hold it for me to shear it. But I really enjoyed shearing. I don't know, it's just something that I like to do, and I really didn't mind. But you try to drive them into a pen. You know, most farmers don't have sheep. So if they get sheep, they want to drive them. Well, you don't drive sheep, let me tell you. You lead them. My father, who was not a shepherd, married my mother and moved back to the farm from the coal mine. He worked in the coal mines and grew up in the coal mines. And anytime we had to work the sheep, and we usually had 40 or 50 sheep, I guess, about all we ever had. But anytime we tried to work them, he would get the whole family out there. And we'd try to probably drive them like into a corner pen, and he'd have us lined up around the area, semicircle-like, trying to drive them in there. Well, I wish I had a video of our work that we tried to do, because they would run over us, run through us. I mean, a sheep can really, when they get on the run, they can jump as high as you are. They can move fast and quick, and they can be hard to catch, believe me. I mean, they would run over top of us and everything. It was a circus, basically, is what it was. But he didn't know that you couldn't drive them, and he never did learn that all of his life. He lived to be 80-some years old and had sheep all of his life, was still trying to drive them. That's the way he'd learned, or the way he had started, and that's what he was doing. But we can't be driven either. We really can't. Someone has to share the word of God with us. Someone would share their testimony with us so that we have that desire in our heart to change or to turn from the sin that we are walking in. When I think about the similarities between humans and sheep, I realize that you can't drive people to Jesus. You must lead them. Someone must show them the way. And that's up to me and you. The pastors do their job, but it's still up to me and you to help to lead people to Jesus. The Oxford Dictionary defines sheep as any of the various ruminant mammals related to the goats. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around goats, but they're pretty tough to deal with too. They can climb. You get them in a pen, and if you have a little wooden thing of some kind, they will climb right up that and go right out. And the other definition of sheep is a timid, docile person, especially one easily influenced or led. I don't know how many of you ever watched the movie The Magnificent Seven. If you get Deesh, you probably have it on there about every other night. It used to be anyway. It seems like they just keep playing the thing over and over again. This Western where these guys are in Mexico and they're villains, I guess you'd call them. They're trying to, they steal everything from the common people that they can. And somebody going on them and was talking to them about it. Why are they doing that? And they said, if God had not meant them to be sheared, he would not have made them sheep. Because they took everything. You know, whatever the villagers had, they took it. So that was a pretty good little thing there that was, if you watch that movie, The Magnificent Seven, it's not the best movie in the world, but if you're like me, you get about three channels, and that's on about every other night, so you watch it. A little bit of it anyway. Estimates are that sheep were domesticated some 11,000 years ago. The first scriptural reference is in Genesis, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the soil. When they brought their offerings to the Lord, we know that God had respect for Abel's, but Cain's was not accepted. We also know what happened to Abel. Cain took his life. So sheep were involved in the first recorded murder in the scriptures. I was thinking about Abel brought a lamb, a blood sacrifice. Cain brought vegetables or whatever he brought. No blood sacrifice from them, but I was thinking you can't get blood out of a turnip. So I guess if they brought turnips, they couldn't get blood out of it to offer unto the Lord. The word sheep occurs 208 times in the Bible. It's a premier descriptive image given to the community of the faithful. It's the premier word used for us, sheep. Sheep represented wealth in Bible times. Often the affluent were judged by the number of sheep they owned. From the days of Abraham down to modern times, sheep have been a significant part of Israel. The nomads were first shepherds, then they were farmers. But shepherding was always a mainstay of the economy. From Job, remember how many sheep Job had? 14,000 sheep that was destroyed. I can't even imagine 14,000 sheep. And you think about David, or not David, but Solomon, when he was building the temple and dedicating it, they sacrificed 120,000 sheep. Can you imagine the bleeding and the bawling and the blood that was shed at the temple's dedication? It's hard to imagine. But sheep were honored for their role as the primary sacrificial animal. They offered a lamb without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, just as Jesus was. He was the perfect sacrifice, a lamb without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He was perfect. I was thinking about the blood of the lamb, and the blood of the lamb is powerful. I opened my Bible to study a while back, and there went something across the pages. I realized it was a little bug. Just sort of flew across them. And here it was, a tick. I have no idea whether that fell off of me onto my Bible or whether it was in my Bible and it was in there waiting for me to open up. I don't have any idea. But I wouldn't have thought too much about it. But Willard, the gentleman that had the heart attack, was telling me he had heard a sermon from Perry Stone about a tick. And this is sort of interesting, I think. Most of you have probably not seen a tick after they have been attached to their culprit. Have you seen ticks after they have been attached for a while, how they'll fill with blood, basically, is what they do. Get real big, and especially if they're around animals. He asked me, he said, how do you fix a crack in a stone jar? And I thought, well, now, what does that have to do with a tick? But he said, what happens is, typically you would mix clay and water together to make a paste, and that would steal that crack in that stone jar. But he said, that doesn't work, it'll leak. But he said, what they learned to do was to mice these ticks. And here again, that was with the blood. That blood was in them, they'd mice them, and then mix them with the clay, and it would seal the crack. So the blood of the lamb sealed the crack. As I thought about that, I thought about, I didn't hear the sermon, so I'm not exactly sure what all went on, but so I'm sort of getting into this, but the speaker used this to say that the blood of the lamb is the answer for the cracks in our life. Sin, disobedience, you know, all those things. The blood of the lamb will do it every time. It'll fix that crack and keep you so that you can hold things in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. Hallelujah. At the end of World War II, my home county over in West Virginia had about 40,000 sheep. Everyone had sheep. We had about 200 at that time. But now there are less than 40,000 sheep in the whole state of West Virginia. They've went because nobody wants to raise them, because nobody can keep them in. Think about that. Nobody can keep them in. In Matthew 18:12, if a shepherd loses a sheep, he will leave the 99 and go to find the one, won't he? And that's what he did, like I said, with you and I. Lambs have a way of getting out. I've lost them many times, and I've found them about every place. I think the last couple that I lost, I looked all over for them. I mean, you'll look here, you'll look there, you'll think, well, they're behind something. Well, you don't find them. The last one was in a groundhog hole, and if I wouldn't have found it, it would have died. And then I had one that got in my disc. My discs were sitting out there, and he had got in between the discs and couldn't get out, and he would have died if I wouldn't have found it. So you were lost, but Jesus found you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't have our sheep right now, but each one of them has a personality and looks. You know, there'll be black face, white face, maybe a bent ear, a pet, a wild one. We had one that was wild. You couldn't do anything with it. But you get a bucket of grain, and it's amazing how they will come. They will almost run over top of you for a little bit of grain. And that's the way we need to be with the Word of God. When the Word of God is spoken, we need to run to it. That's where life is. Hallelujah. The Word says, my sheep know my voice. And will we know the voice of the shepherd and listen? Or do we take time to listen? We are so busy that listening is not one of our highlights in our life, probably. I think our sheep would have followed me over a cliff if I had a bucket of grain. I mean, they would literally almost run over top of you for it. And we need to be that with the Word of God, that we run to it and we eat it, we digest it. David, who wrote the psalm, understood how the Lord wants to watch over his sheep, just as he watched over his sheep. In 1 Samuel 17, David said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Of course, that was Goliath. And we know that David was speaking truth. David was able to defeat Goliath. And I was thinking about that as he threw that stone. God had to guide that because it had to be a perfect hit to knock down an 8-foot guy. It really did. But God was with him, the same God that had helped him protect his sheep. I mean, I didn't have to protect my sheep from the bear or the lion. We protect them from coyotes, and that's one of the reasons why we finally got rid of our sheep, too, is because of the coyotes, because they start eating them faster than we could raise them. But we took care of the coyotes, too, not with a slingshot, but something very similar. It goes on to say, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He will take us to the best place. If we're just willing to follow him, he doesn't want bad things for us, but we will make decisions that will lead us to bad places. Is it possible that God gives us the best and we don't even realize it? Several years ago, I took our sheep to a new pasture field. It was the best field on the farm. And before I could get home, here they came up behind me almost. They was in, come up right to our yard. Well, I took them back. Got a bucket of grain and took them back. They didn't want to go, but they went. And every time you take them back, it's a little bit more of a struggle to get them. Even with a bucket of grain, they fought going back. And you know, that's the way we are. If we get out, the first time we may go back pretty easily. But then it gets harder and harder to go back in the field where we're supposed to be. You need to really think about that one, because we are guilty, I'm afraid, and we are like the sheep that don't want to go back. It says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Still waters to me indicates peace. Still waters run deep. Well, I used to like to fish when I was a kid, and I'd fish for native brook trout. And you'd always find a trout laying right beside the still waters in those little riffles beside them. And so, you know, still waters run deep. They're there. We have to find them. Sheep need plenty of fresh water. If you don't give them fresh water, they get kidney stones, I guess you'd say. Urinary calculi is what they call it in the sheep industry. And so what happens when they get that? Well, the sheep can't say, well, I got a pain here, and we can diagnose it. We usually just lose them. He restores my soul. I was thinking about that sometimes the sheep would get on their back. And if you catch them pretty quick, you can flip them over and they jump up and take off. They'll stagger a little bit, but they're okay. But if they're down for just a little while, their soul has not been restored and they'll die. It don't take long before they're laying there dead and the buzzards are after them. So think about that one too, that God is gracious enough to restore us. You don't have a short window sometimes when you sin to repent, to make things right with the Lord. Think about that. It says, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sometimes that path is awful narrow. Sometimes it's awful steep. I was thinking about how that the shepherds would lead their flocks up to the plateaus, and it would be a little steep path that they'd follow. But if they followed the shepherd, there was no problem, but it didn't take much to get off that path and fall over the cliff. If we can keep our eyes focused on him and follow him, we'll be okay. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I was thinking about that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The predators love the valleys because that's where the weak guys are. They can get in there and get them a nice bite of sheep or lamb. Or if we're in the valley, we got to be careful because we're weak at that point and we're easily chewed up. Sometimes the valley seems so deep we can't get out. But the thing we have to remember is that Jesus is still there. He's waiting for us to call on him to not let off, to not back off. He overcame death, hell, sin, and the grave just for us so that we can not have to live in that valley. We can get out of it. It goes on to say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. His word and his Holy Spirit. What more do we need? Take his word in. Let his Holy Spirit bring life to it. And it's amazing what you'll be able to do. He will guide you. He will teach you. He will show us the way out of that valley. The shepherd protects his sheep with his life. And Jesus protected us with his life if we're willing to give to him our life. Goes on to say, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. When we're in communion with our Lord, nothing is hurried because he's in control. No disturbance because he shields us. The enemy may be at the door, but God prepares a table for us to sit down and eat in peace. In Bible times, the shepherd would lead his flock up to a plateau, but he would go ahead of the sheep and clear out any poison weeds or any coyotes or lions or bears or whatever. He would prepare the way for them. And that's what this verse here is saying. The Lord prepares a table before us in the presence of his enemies. Goes down and says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Oil has healing power. We know that. How many times have you had oil put on you and God is healed? God is faithful. Hallelujah. I was thinking, we used to, up at Jennings, it seemed like we got the anointing oil out pretty often, maybe too often, but we'd get out and we'd start praying for one. Well, before long, we'd end up praying for the whole church and anointing almost every one of them. They believed in that. They believed that the oil of anointing was there. I was thinking about this too, that several years ago, it's been probably 50 years ago, I was away at a meeting and dogs got in our sheep. And I should let Ruth tell this story, but her and my father caught the sheep that were tore up. I mean, when a dog gets a sheep, it'll grab them here and it'll just rip the whole wool right off, the whole skin and everything. But it tore up the sheep pretty bad, several of them, and they sewed them back up. They didn't know what they was doing, but they sewed them back up and put oil on them. And they healed up pretty well, really, for amateurs. Ruth was an amateur at that point. She still is in the sheep business, but it's amazing how the sheep healed. And the next spring, one of them had triplets. And so that has to be the grace of God. But God will do the same for me and you with the anointing. You know, he talks about in James, call for the elders of the church, pray over them for their healing, and put oil on them. Let them have that healing oil. It goes on to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I guess I would ask you, where will you spend eternity? The Good Shepherd says we can spend it with him if we make the right choice. It's heaven or hell. Which one will we choose? What happens to sheep without a shepherd? They wander all over. We have good shepherds. There's no reason for us to wander. Keep our ears open. Listen to what the word of God is. Listen to what God will speak to you. You're all intelligent also, that you can read the word and receive what God has for you. I know we're supposed to be reading through the word. I don't know how many of you are. But if you'll read through the word, God will speak to you for your need, for where you are. Sometimes we can't tell you what to do because we don't know where you are. But the word will speak to you. We need a shepherd, and he is the good shepherd. He speaks through his word, and he speaks through prayer. If you'll take time to pray and listen, God will speak to you. I remember when we first came, we'd get in the meetings, and Cindy would say, what is God speaking to you? Well, I didn't know God was speaking to me. But God was speaking to me. God speaks to me every day. And I know that now, but I didn't know that then. I didn't realize it was God that was speaking to me. God was trying to speak to me and tell me things that I needed. But I wasn't listening. I had my ears closed. But God will speak to you. He just wants his sheep to listen and then obey. He wants action out of us most of the time. And that's where we stumble. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So I ask you tonight, is the Lord your shepherd? Are you following the good shepherd, or are you trying to do it on your own?